outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday. It's June 27th. It's
going
to be
morning.
A scorcher today, another one.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, yesterday was pretty hot.
And even as the week goes on, later and later, it's going to get even hotter.
Even hotter.
Like I looked at, tomorrow's going to be even hotter.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, great.
So get ready, people. Summer is here.
Yes, and this is Southern California, folks. It's always hot.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You go to the beach, it's 20 degrees lower.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
It's so true, because you've got right? that little, bit of a breeze coming
exactly.
off the water.
Exactly. You know,
yeah.
We're in the valley, and it's really hot here and stuff.
Yeah.
How is it in Hollywood? It's okay, right? It doesn't get too hot.
It's sort of okay. It still gets pretty hot, though.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, the valley is definitely
yeah, the valley
hotter.
Is hot. So yeah. How are you doing this morning?
I am fantastic. How are you
yeah,
doing this morning?
I'm fantastic, too.
Oh,
I'm getting ready for
lovely.
My trip on Monday. For those who haven't heard, I'm going to Israel for about, it's actually less than 10, it's going to be 10 days exactly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that's enough for me. I don't need to go for any longer than that.
Yeah.
Now,
well,
if I was
nice
taking a trip
family,
to a nice
so.
Exotic place, I would stay longer probably, you know. But yeah, I'm going to visit the family and to be with my son and his trip there. And it should be pretty fun, you know. So we'll be off for a couple of weeks starting Monday. And are you going to go back home too?
I am, yeah. I'm
going
to take this
cool.
opportunity to go home and see my family and work on my movie Dead Girls and
yeah.
all that fun stuff.
Are the girls still dead?
Oh, God, I hope so. Just kidding. The cast is all very lovely.
Yeah. So are you one of the dead girls that ends up dead or what?
I am technically, yes, a dead girl, but an undead.
Oh,
dead
I
girl.
See. So we got undead here. Right.
Yeah, but not like a World War Z nonsense. I'm like a super hot dead girl.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I come back looking better than ever, let me tell you.
Really? Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We're going to have to catch that movie. Do you have any projection when you'll finish it?
I know we were talking a little bit about this before.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's just, with post-production and everything.
That's true.
I mean,
we did
you
talk
never
about
know.
It.
Yeah.
We talked about
you
it yesterday,
know, but
actually. But there's my memory,
it's,
you know.
It's hard to put a date on stuff. But,
yeah.
Oh, no, it's all right. You got
yeah.
a lot going on.
It's okay. Yeah, you have, there's no deadlines like with the studio or anything, right?
Right,
you just
yeah.
kind of go with it.
Oh, yeah, movie dates get changed all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens. Not
oh,
everybody
wow,
knows
man.
It, but it does happen.
Yeah. Huh? Well, yeah. That's cool. So I'm looking forward to it. And, I'm not looking forward to the flight, though, because,
oh, I bet. That's a long flight.
Yeah, a direct flight is 14 hours, which
yeah.
is bad enough.
Ugh.
But I didn't take the direct flight this time because it was way too expensive. So I took one with a stop in Philly. And that's going to total about 20 hours of flight without the layover.
Yeah.
So that's two flights, 5 hours and another 15 or something.
Oh,
so.
Man. Oh, good luck.
I know, man.
Lots
I know.
Of sleep. That's
yeah.
what I try to do.
Well, that's what I do. I mean, and I managed to sleep for quite a few hours. It's not a great sleep. But nevertheless, the time flies,
oh,
you know.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So then, you get up, there's only a few hours left, and you go, oh, great, man.
Right.
You know, because otherwise I can't deal with it,
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes don't you just feel like I need to get out of this airplane right now, and you can't because you're like 30,000 feet high, And sometimes I get that, but I hope I don't get any anxiety or anything. I don't, I usually don't. I used to love to fly. In fact, I have my own pilot license.
What?
For a small plane.
Oh my God. gosh, yeah. That's so exciting.
I know. I learned in Vegas when I lived in Vegas. Yeah. But you know what? I've sort of like gotten more afraid of it as I grew up. You know, because I mean, I told the story before here, but one time I was so close to death flying alone. And what I did is I went on my solo flight.
Uh-huh.
And what you do is it gets boring to just fly straight, you know. So
yeah.
You start practicing stalls and things like that because that's what they teach you a lot of.
Right.
How to get out of stalls and things like that. So I put it into a stall and the plane starts spinning.
Oh.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good.
It turned toward the earth and I'm going vertical towards the earth. I see everything spinning in front of me.
Oh, my God. Oh
and
my
I'm
God.
Just going, God, no, no, not yet.
Oh, no. How did you regain control? What did you do?
Well, that's the thing is I remembered because he had been with me and put me to a spin before, the instructor.
Yeah, okay.
So I kind of knew what to do. And you see, when you're vertical, the steering wheel doesn't work. You know, the ailerons on the wings don't work because there's no lift. I mean, it's just going this way.
Oh, man.
So the only way to get out is by pressing the pedals for the, what are they called? I forgot, but for the tail,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then slowly you come out of the spin and you have such mm-hmm. G-force on your head that you don't even know where you are. It's sort of like disorienting, you know.
Oh, my God.
You just feel
I
this
bet.
Pressure on your head as you straighten out. And, man, that was something, you know. So, and luckily I was high, you know. I was like at 13,000 feet or something, so... There was plenty of time to get out of it, you know.
Right, yeah. Oh,
but,
my gosh.
Yeah, I know. And then I did a solo trip to Arizona, my first cross country. And so you just fly by maps and by plans. There was no GPS yet. I mean, I'm talking like 1994.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
There was no GPS for airplanes yet.
Oh, my gosh.
So you're like flying by landmarks and shit, you know, mountains.
Oh,
you know,
gosh.
I mean, imagine you're flying 12,000 feet on your own and you have to look at maps.
Yeah, I mean,
and
how
figure
do you know
out where the hell
land
you go.
And where, oh my gosh.
I know, you know.
That's so,
so
nerve-wracking.
Like, I know, and then suddenly I realized looking at the map and doing all the calculations while I'm flying that I overshot my turn. I was supposed to turn or something towards Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So then based on the map, I figured out which mountain was which.
Mm-hmm.
And then I turned. I don't know how I got there. I somehow got there. But this is not the end of it. As I'm getting close to the airport, suddenly there's a plane flying really close to me. I'm going, oh, my God, you know, what is going on?
Yeah.
And now this is an airport without a tower. So people just, you kind of announce yourself
mm-hmm.
and you land. You know, there's nobody that says, okay, you
oh,
know,
wow.
go into the pattern and
land
first or second or whatever. So here I'm landing, all these planes all around me. I finally landed. I realized there's an air show going on at the airport. And nobody
no.
bothered to tell me about it.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
that's
man.
So funny. I'm like, ooh, then, what's that one going to do?
You know,
oh, nothing? Okay.
Yeah.
We'll clap anyway.
But I'm like, this is my first cross country. I don't know what the hell to do with these planes,
oh
you know?
Oh, my God, that's too funny.
So
though.
It was scary, you know? So ever since
the
then,
air
I'm...
show.
So yeah, so ever since then I'm kind of like scared to fly again. I don't know.
Oh yeah, wow. I don't blame you. That's,
yeah. But it's
quite
so much
story.
Fun. Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's so interesting.
Yeah, I know. I know. And yeah, so I mean, I like it. You know, I love planes. Always loved planes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing like it. And but you know, flying an airliner and stuff, and you know, you're stuck in there and stuff. Kind of like sometimes I feel. Trapped.
Yeah.
You know.
You know what's funny about me is that, like, I don't know how you feel about this, but I love turbulence.
You do?
Yes. Is that
Whoa.
Weird? I
it's
love
very
it.
Weird.
It puts me, like, at ease. I don't
like
know
like a roller coaster.
I
but
feel like
at
it's
ease?
Because, yes, like, it makes me feel better. I don't know why.
Wow.
I think it might be because, like, the fact that, you know, when you're on a plane, you know, you don't really feel like you're moving.
Right.
So I feel like once you feel that, it like, I don't know, it does something to the brain where it's like, oh, you're actually going somewhere.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like, oh, okay, I'm not just standing still, even though I'm well aware I'm not standing still. But
right.
I don't know. I've always, yeah, that's just what somebody else told me. They're like, oh, yeah, that's
yeah.
why you like it. It's because it, you know, jogs your memory that you're actually moving and you're
yeah.
getting somewhere. But I do. I love it. It puts me to sleep.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know. It's
weird.
Like some people say, oh, it's like waves in the ocean. Well, you know what? It's not, you know, because some people actually get hurt, you know.
Yeah.
So.
But I mean, like, I love roller coasters, too. Like, I love that feeling that you get when you go, like, you know, down the drop and doing the loops and stuff. Like, I love it. Like, most people hate it. I'm like a little bit of a thrill junkie.
Yeah.
I love it.
No, it's fun. It's fun. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Have you ever been to Six Flags out here?
Oh, yeah. So much
fun. Yeah.
So much fun. I just wish the rides were faster.
Yeah. That's fast enough for you, huh?
Nope, not fast enough. I'm that girl. There could have been, you know, there could have been more loops. It could have been faster, you know.
The need for speed, huh?
Yes.
They just opened, I guess, the biggest looping roller coaster in the world.
Really?
Or something. Yeah. I saw
Where?
On TV.
Here?
Yeah. Here.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I saw that on TV. So, yeah, you got to go.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I do. I so have to go. We have one back home, too, in Illinois, Gurnee Mills, Illinois. We have a Six Flags.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it pretty cool, too?
So, it's it's pretty cool. It's about, you know, from Chicago, it's about, like, an hour-ish drive, if I remember correctly. But, yeah. Because it's not all the exact same rides. Like, it's all totally different.
Exactly.
And it's so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, maybe I'll go when I go home. It should be open now, I would think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've got one of those, like, season passes now. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go all the time.
Yeah.
And I haven't gone again once. I'm like, what the heck? But I think it's good for the one in Chicago as well. So maybe when I go home, I'll go to that Six Flags, too.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, I know. They've got some really cool ones. I haven't been in years. But maybe I'll go this summer, you know.
Yeah, probably one of the fastest rides I've ever been on was, do you remember when they built the Disney theme park in, I want to say Paris, I think?
Yeah, Euro Disney,
Yes, Disneyland Paris. And their Space Mountain was so freaking fast.
Really?
Oh my God, it blew my mind. Yeah, like literally you can feel like the water in your eyes, like squirt out. Like it was just unreal because it puts you up and then you like stop for a second. I just remember that and you think, what the heck's going on? And there's like a flashing light and like a loud boom and you just take off and you're like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, I can't breathe. Oh my God, it's amazing.
Oh,
like, yeah,
there
so
you
fast.
Go. So that's up your alley, something like that, right?
Oh yeah,
you needed
like that
fast.
That's my thing. Space Mountain. I gotta go to Disneyland, the one here. I haven't been since I was a little kid.
Wow.
Yeah, so I gotta hit.
Yeah, you should
Disney
go this
too.
One.
I mean, I don't think it's quite as thrilling as
Disney World. No.
As the one in Paris.
Oh,
but,
in Paris.
Didn't
they close that one? I think it wasn't making money.
Yeah. Oh
right?
Yeah. No. That closed down. I'm pretty sure. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Oh well.
Okay, roller coasters for you. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have a very special guest in the studio who arrived just on time, and we're very proud of her because sometimes guests do not arrive here on time. We have Wendy Cooper. Welcome to the show, Wendy.
Thank you, Sam.
Of course. And Wendy has a show Thursdays at noon on Channel 2 called The C-Spot as opposed to The G-Spot.
Oh, so stop it. You got to go there.
Of course he does. He's a guy.
Well, it just occurred to me. What can I tell you? You know.
I'll change the name.
Okay.
Then I got to change the topics too.
Right. So tell us what the C-Spot stands for.
Well, so my core company is called C-Spot Run Productions.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
So
well,
it's a letter C.
Yes.
Yeah. And I do direct response commercials and write, produce, and direct commercials.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm also a marketing and advertising consultant.
Oh, wow.
So the C-Spot is in direct correlation with C-Spot Run, which has been my company since 1997.
Really?
Yeah. So it's kind of, it was a natural progression, you know, and it's a play on, everybody always says, well, what's the C stand for? Well, my last name is Cooper.
Yes, okay, there you
so
go.
I think that's what it probably stands for.
There you go.
But there's a lot of other things it can stand for, too. It's whatever you want it to stand
for. Yeah, exactly.
You know, so am I okay here because
You sound very good. You don't
I
have
do.
To,
okay.
Right. You're just fine. You don't have to mess with the microphone.
So can I say something?
Yes, go ahead and
say
something.
All right, so I have so many stories. So I'm listening to you guys, and I'm going, oh, God, I just want to say something.
Go ahead.
Okay, so Mia... I'm very much like you. I love, when my kids, boys were growing up, I used to, it was mandatory that they went to Magic, I took them to Magic Mountain at the age of 7, maybe. Uh-huh. They had to keep their eyes open when they went upside down in the roller coasters or whatever. They had to, all right? And so I'm a thrill seeker also, but I can't say that I really like turbulence on an airplane because yeah. that means trouble. Right? That's a little bit different. Yeah. And the Paris Disneyland. Uh-huh. Actually, I lived in Paris in 1980, right outside at Paris. The Disneyland in Paris, or the Euro Disney, was on the outside. It's like in the suburbs, right?
Right, yeah.
And I lived in a suburb of Paris in 1984, 85, 86. And it was this big controversy that they're going to build a Disneyland, wow. right? They're going to build a Disneyland. And I can remember being at a dinner and getting in the biggest argument about it's never going to work.
Really?
It's never going to work, guys. Wow. Well, why isn't it going to work, Wendy? Well, it's not going to work because it's like, you know, in Europe, you have so many different languages and nationalities, and they're all kind of close together, and it's just a different mentality. Like, they love mm-hmm. Mickey Mouse, but do they love Mickey Mouse enough,
yeah,
right,
exactly.
to sustain a Disney, a Euro Disney?
Right.
And, yeah. And sure enough, there you go.
Yeah. You know? But that's interesting because people come here from all over the world yeah. to go to Disney.
Yeah.
And they opened one in Japan that's doing well, right?
You know, that I don't know. All yeah. I know is the one in well,
they
in
were
France
opening up, yeah.
It was just tanked. Really
yeah, it
tanked.
Really did, yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows
I mean,
why,
I yeah. loved it. I didn't have to wait in any long lines.
Of course not. You're the only one there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. I was like, all right, walk right through.
Yeah. Oh, have you been to Disney World at all, Wendy?
In Orlando?
Yes.
Is that in Orlando?
Yeah.
You know, I actually... I'm a theme park. I love theme parks. I love fast rides. I'm a Six Flags girl.
Oh,
right.
Okay. You,
I go
like
for the thrill
coasters.
Of right. my dad was a fighter pilot, and you know, when I was a little girl, he would take me to Coney Island.
Wow.
And out of six kids, he would go, come on, honey, I'm gonna take it. I'd be like 9 years old. And he's making me, you know, he goes, just relax, I'm in the centrifugal force thing that's going around like this, you know. And he's no, he actually said to me, he goes, just whatever you do, don't relax. And whatever you do is you're supposed to relax so that you kind of yeah. you know, it sticks you against the wall.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
But if you tighten up, that's when you start to go down.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, the floor goes out from beneath you. Have you ever been on one of those?
No, yeah. I haven't.
Oh, like the G-force things where you spin?
Yeah, you spin.
And then the floor drops?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I did that at Space Camp when I was in Girl Scouts.
Oh, God.
We did all the, like, space
You'll
training.
Never catch
but you have
me
to relax
that.
Or else your body just kind of yeah. tightens up and it will start to go down
oh, wow.
where
that's
the floor
scary.
Is. So my dad, the joker that he is, goes, whatever you do, don't relax. Just tense up. I'm like 10. Yes.
And
so
there's
I
nothing holding
way.
You to the wall either?
No, just the force.
Really, just the force. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I never get on those, man.
No? And you can imagine at Coney Island, it was so decrepit, right?
Really?
It's not like yeah. today when you yeah. go, you feel a little more safe, you right. know, than, you know, if you go on to Magic Mountain, you go on the wooden roller coaster.
Right.
To me, that's a little freaky as I got older because
yeah.
it creaked.
Yeah.
It's like, no, put me on one of those Batman things or whatever yeah. where I'm just kind of, yeah. you know, gliding through the air and I'm happy. But I think that's cool. You know, I think it's really great to be a thrill seeker.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely got that from my mom because at first, like, I kind of hated it for a little while because she, you know, kind of prematurely put me on a loop-de-loop roller coaster.
Yeah.
And I was scared out of my mind. But she would, like, force me to go on
oh,
everything.
Wow.
But eventually, like, I don't know. I guess I just ended up loving it.
Yeah.
And
yeah
so yeah. now...
Yeah, that's what I did to my boys.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I ruined him probably forever. My one son's still in his room. He won't come out. He's 22 now.
Failure to launch. Huh? I don't know what is with these kids. You know, I mean, they stay home till they're 25, 26. I mean, what is it?
Well,
you know?
Sam, come on. Yeah. I'm married to an Italian. He stayed home until he was 35.
Are you serious?
Yeah. You know the yeah. thing they say about Italian men? That they stay home, they live at home until they're 35.
Wow.
My husband, I mean, still has we go back to Italy. We go to the house. His room is just like when he was 35. Seriously. And they see nothing wrong with that. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Really? Like to stay with the family and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I see something completely wrong with it.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have a problem with my son Chance still living at home at 22. He thinks it's perfectly normal. Yeah. And I don't.
Yeah. Well, but there are a lot of kids that still stay at home.
Expensive for it's a different world out there. I can't imagine, you know, he works, he goes to school, but you know, I just can't imagine. I have a 32-year-old also. Mm. And you know, he works for Jones Soda, but he still even has a hard time, you know, making it. And you know, it's not the same thing as when I was 18, man. I got in my car.
Really?
You know, I graduated from Chatsworth High. I got in my car the day after graduation. And I said, I'll see ya. You know, and that was it. I left, packed up my little, you know, buggy and left.
I know. I was on my own when I was 16.
Mm.
You know, my parents sent me out here. Not against my will, of course, and I stayed with some relatives for a while, but then I moved out, you know. I mean, it was affordable at the time, you know, and and I've been independent, so it's hard for me to understand why my kids at 23 are still at home.
Oh, you do have kids still at home at 23 also?
Yeah, except I don't live with them. I mean, they live with their mom, but you know, I mean, they don't leave.
The key is, the thing that I find is that It's difficult because, you know, I'm still mom, and I have a home office, right? And my husband has a home office.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find myself, you know, I love my kids, right? So I do a lot of things that I wouldn't normally do for them if they weren't at home.
Right.
And then that's not good for them.
Yeah, right.
Because I fear Chance moving out. It's like, know that's a Q-tip and you use it for this, right? Or do you know that you actually have to, like, change your toothbrush every once in a while on your Sonic Care, right? These are the things that I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
So, or if something happens, just doing the laundry.
Yeah, doing the laundry, cleaning.
Oh, you know what? I mean, I was kind of like that. I mean, you know, granted I was only, you know, 19 when I moved out here, but my mom did everything for me. My parents, I didn't know how to, you know, do laundry. I didn't know how to really, like, you know, clean and, you know, upkeep a house. I didn't really know how to cook. I couldn't drive on the highway or parallel park or park
in a meter.
I didn't know how to, you know. Yeah, because, I mean, in the burbs, you don't really have to. Yeah. You know, if I ever have to go in the city, my mom would always drive because it was for, like, an audition or a job.
Right.
So she would, you know, she would always drive to the city. So I never really had experience driving on an expressway or anything.
That's true.
But when I moved out here, I just did it, like, you know, just up and did it whole turkey.
So that was like the first time you were away out of the house, right?
Yeah, my first time.
And
you know what?
Moved.
I just figured out how to do everything on my own.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And
now
I'm 23
and,
you know, still loving by myself.
Yeah. Well, they say that's what happens. You can only protect them so much, especially, you know. And you really shouldn't protect them that much, right? So, you know, it's just got to, you know, go little birdie and fly.
Exactly.
If you crash, you know, you got a broken wing. But, you know, but then I try to learn from my 32-year-old, you know. I mean, Chance is great because he's a totally different kid, my younger one, and he doesn't ask for anything. Mm. He will not ask me for anything. Yeah. I'll say, can I give you $20, you know, because, right? But my older son is different. Right. He's they're neither one of them. My husband now is the father of either one of them, and they have two different dads.
I see. Okay.
So they were basically, I brought them up on my own because their dads were kind of non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
But Wyatt is my older son. He's still a little needy, right? Like yesterday, he actually texts me and he says, "Mom, would you be willing to buy me one of those vapor cigarettes so that I could quit smoking?"
Uh-huh.
And I thought,
wow.
No, because if I buy it for you, why?
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to use it because I'm buying it for
really?
You.
Really?
If you buy it, if he spends the $120 or $30 or $40, whatever it is, for it, then he's going to use it, right? And he's going to quit smoking.
That's true.
You know,
that's very true.
You know.
Wow.
if you keep giving, there's no appreciation for it.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
And there's no value to it. It's like you give a dog away, the person you give it to is going to treat it completely different than if you even pay just a dollar. So
really?
You have to put a value.
That's
somebody
true,
told
huh?
me that once.
And just
yeah.
like college,
that is true.
Too. I
yeah.
mean, some
yeah.
kids, when they, like myself, I paid for my own college, and I was 17 when I went to college. Mm-hmm. And I paid for that all by myself. And
wow.
I was never really, I mean, obviously my third year of high school, I worked really hard just because I so badly wanted to get out of there because
yeah.
I didn't want to have a fourth year of high school. But up until then, I wasn't, you know, I didn't really care much about school and doing well. I just wanted to come out to LA and be an
right.
actress, you know.
You know, that's a great point, Nia.
Yeah.
You were in a suburb in outside of Chicago. Is that
yes,
is that
northwest
correct?
Suburbs.
Right. So you know, chances, right? Chance is in the heart of everything. You know, why would he want to move out? Where's he gonna move? To Hollywood? You know.
No pressure.
Yeah. There's
no
you,
incentive. Yeah.
Right. You
yeah.
needed you want to pursue your career.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. You come to Hollywood. Right.
Right.
You know, he's been there all his life.
So.
So you were talking about Coney Island. Are you originally from the East Coast?
Yeah, I grew up in Long Island until I was about 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so my dad was from the East Coast, and my grandmother and grandfather, you know, and
mm-hmm.
all that when they came over on the boat.
Right.
All right. And yeah, my dad was. And so we were living in New York. My dad was in the Air Force, so he was one of the original Thunderbirds.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, fighter pilot,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, which
wow.
was really cool. He's 85 now, and it's
wow.
really... It's awesome to think that he was one of the original Thunderbirds.
You
yeah.
know, because,
that's
I mean,
so cool.
to be a pilot of a fighter jet, you have to be the best of the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
so
know?
The Thunderbirds, they're like, are they like the Blue Angels?
Yes.
Kind of
the
okay.
Air Force.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, because in Chicago, we have the Air and Water Show, and that's a big deal. And I think they switch off between the Thunderbirds. And
yeah, Thunderbirds are Navy, and Air Force is Thunder.
Awesome.
I mean, Blue Angels is Navy,
yeah.
Thunderbirds is Air Force.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. But it started in Neubiberg, Germany. My dad was stationed in Germany in the early 50s, and it was called the Skyblazers.
Uh-huh.
And I actually have the little article, I found it,
right.
when they came to the U.S., they came back from the U.S., so they formed their first little group of guys, right, and they were called the Skyblazers.
Uh-huh.
That's his license plate to this day, a Skyblazer.
Really?
And then they came to the U.S., and they did this whole contest within the Air Force, saying, well, what are we going to name it? What are we going to name this team?
Right.
And they ended up naming it. There was like a competition and you won $5 or something. It was back in 1955. That's a lot of money. And that's how they got named the Thunderbirds.
Wow.
And that's the genesis of the Thunderbirds. It's kind of cool.
That's
amazing.
Such a great story.
Yeah.
I love it.
Aww. I know. So you were an Air Force kid pretty much, right?
Well, I was an Air Force kid until I was pretty young. He didn't retire from the Air Force.
Right.
There were six kids and they ended up living in Massachusetts or something. I remember that. And then we went to New York. So I was
mm-hmm.
little. My brothers were born in Massachusetts. My older brother and sister born in Germany. Then they came back here and they went and were stationed in Phoenix, which is where I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went to Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Buzzards Bay.
So they have moved around a lot.
Lot.
I mean,
and then
yeah.
they ended up back in New York where my grandma and grandpa were. And we were on Long Island until I was about 10 or 11. And then we moved here.
Right.
To the Valley.
Now, did you find it difficult? Because I know we moved a few times when I was a kid, although it wasn't very far from, you know, it was always like the next town over or something. But, and then I moved here too, and I think I learned like not to plant too many roots. Because what happens is you get used to the people, you get used to the place, and then you have to leave. You know, and it's a tough thing to do. How was it for you? I mean, were you able to create some strong connections with people?
I was pretty young, right?
Yeah.
And I remember when we first came here from New York to the Valley, we lived in Tarzana.
Right.
And I was probably 11, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my sister was a teenager or early teens, and my brother. But the way you dress and the way you talk on the East Coast back then, you know, we didn't wear bobby socks. We wore knee highs.
No.
We wore wool skirts.
Uh-huh.
We didn't, it was such a culture shock for us. Okay, this is a really funny
really?
Story. I'm glad you asked. Okay, so here I am. I'm so out of place because I'm talking like this and I'm walking the dog and I'm going, you know, let's go play ball. And we didn't play outside. Maybe in the spring you would play outside in school. And you play outside here all year round, right? And you play Socko. You know, I don't know if you did back there, but it's called Socko here, right? It's like dodgeball, but they call it Socko for some reason. And it just everything is different. And so, you know, it was back in the 60s, and my brother with the grease-style haircut and the shoes. And, you know, we're coming from the East Coast, man. This is how you dress. And then I get to school, and everybody is so cute, right? And they have on their little white little Keds with their little Bobby socks. And there I am with my knee-high wool socks on. Wow. And I was so out of place.
That's funny.
And the first friend I make is Beth Marks, and her father is, I don't remember his first name, but he was the producer of Perry Mason.
Okay.
So here I am now thrown into this place of, oh my God, it's like Hollywood, but I don't even know what Hollywood is. So sitting in a classroom, and I'm maybe here 3 weeks. I'm so embarrassed. Everybody's asking me, you know, hey, say ball for us, bull. How do you say dog? And you know, I was so embarrassed. You can't imagine. So I'm sitting in a class, and I'm not lying, right? I am gonna sneeze, so I try to hold in my sneeze, and when I try to hold in my sneeze, I fart, sneeze, and like it's... hiccup. Or something at the same time. It was this explosion of noise by the girl from New York.
Oh, man.
In the corner. And then the snot came out of my nose.
Yeah, I figured the snot came out because you were pushing.
And I did not go. I went home from school that day, and I pretended to be sick for 3 weeks.
Wow.
I would not go back to school for 3 weeks.
How traumatic.
My poor mom, because she didn't know what was wrong with me.
Yeah. Oh, no.
What a trauma, man.
Yeah, that was the most embarrassing moment of my life, and it will always be. Yeah, terrible.
You see, that's the thing about kids moving around and stuff. You know, you have to deal with it all the time, be the new kid on the block, the new kid in class.
It's like starting a new job, you know?
Yeah.
You know, as you get older... you know, people make fun of you when you start a new job, right? You're the new person or whatever. Yeah. And especially for kids, like my son Chance, he had a tough time. He got a job when he was like 16 at P.F. Chang's, but he got the job because he knew somebody. Then he worked there for a couple of years, right? And then he didn't have a job. And it was okay because it didn't matter. He was 18 years old, right? And then he got a job because my other son knew somebody. So then he worked there for a year, right? But then there was a year where he was so intimidated to go out and even go on an interview.
Wow.
Because when he was at P.F. Chang's, they used to make fun of the people who were the new people.
Really?
And this really was ingrained in him. And he went to school in the same place all his life, right? Yeah. I made sure, because my oldest son moved around a lot. But you know what? Because of me.
Right.
And Wyatt is so well adjusted, and he's so social, and everybody loves Wyatt, right? And I think, Sam, it's because he had to, you know, acclimate himself. He had to be social. When he was the new kid so often in school, he learned how to deal with that.
Right.
And that transferred over to his social skills in life.
Yeah.
And he's not intimidated by anything. You know, he'll walk in a room with his head really high. Where Chance never moved around at all. Grew up in Manhattan Beach, El Segundo, basketball star, the whole thing. Always the same group of friends.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I felt so sad for him that he said, Mama, I get there and I sit down in front of, and I can't talk. It's like I know exactly what I want to say in the job interview, but then they ask me a question and I go blank. But you know what? You might appreciate this, Mia. He went to, when he got out of high school, he decided he wanted to be an actor. Mm-hmm. So we have friends that, Sophia Milos is a good friend, best friend of my husband.
Wow.
And Sophia is an actress.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, well, he should just go to the Beverly Hills Playhouse where they teach real acting, right? Mm. And this Beverly Hills, it's called Beverly Hills Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went. But, you know, in teaching them real acting, it's stage. It's all stage. They beat the crap out of his ego.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's where it came from. Was to tear you down to build you up.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, he did that for about a year. And I saw him just turn into this wimpy, insecure, you know,
ex.
basketball
yeah,
star.
You have to have the personality, I think, yeah. the temperament and things like that to deal with it, you know, because some people are just shy yeah. by nature.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they can't do what they want to do, you know, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah. And also, I mean, but, I started when I was 9, and even getting yeah. into it, my mom gave me the big lecture about, you know, rejection. Because yeah. she's like, you are not going to, you know, get every audition that you go on. So I was already prepared for it. Little did we know, I ended up booking like the first 5 in a row auditions that I ever went on.
Well, you're a natural.
So I just started off, yeah. you know, I kind of started off lucky. And then, of course, there's, you know, the dry spells and that awkward age where, you know, they're not really, you know, looking for, you know, a
pimples.
Type like you. And, you know, well, thankfully, I never.
You never got pimples?
I know, I never went
through
that.
You don't look like you ever
Knock
had
on
pimples.
Wood. But
yeah, that's funny.
Gosh, what great names, Wyatt and
Chance.
Wyatt and yeah. Chance. Those are yeah. awesome. Like, where'd yeah. you come up with that? They're so interesting. I love
it. I think every name of a kid has a story.
Yeah, that's you know? True. That's true. Yeah. So you've been married that's what awesome. 3 times? Four times?
No, I actually. Damn.
No, you mentioned like 3 different. Two different fathers and then the
doesn't
the
mean
the
you're
husband,
always married to the father.
That's true, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So yeah.
All right.
But I've been married to my current husband, Marino, since mm-hmm. for 17 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. So
very
chances nice. It was 4 when Marino came into our lives, and so that's kinda like his dad.
Yeah. And you guys don't have mutual kids together?
No, although yeah. Marino would have loved that. But we met when I was 40.
Really?
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was no way in hell. Yeah. I was going to have another kid, nor was I ever going to share any of my finances with anybody. So we remained very, married, but very separate. I mean, I laid the cool. rule, you know,
if,
in
if
the very
works,
beginning.
Hey, if it works out, you know, that's all that
Yeah,
matters,
it's really great,
you know?
Actually. Yeah. It's great. You know?
Yeah, I mean, 17 years is a long time to yeah. be with someone, you know. It really
You're
has
telling
to
me.
Work. I'm telling you. I'm reminding you.
You're telling me. You know, I remind myself that every day. You know, my husband does this thing to me now. He says, slaps my ass, and he says, not bad for 60. I'm not 60.
Not there yet.
Not 60. But, you know, it's kind of funny. You know, I just walked by because he's this very big, handsome, long, just he's this yeah. beautiful Italian man and walks by. Bam, not bad for 60. Oh, God.
Now, have you had trouble dealing with aging and stuff, like once
yeah.
you break through 50 and
yeah.
things like that?
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, the best years for me were my 40s. I have to say, you know, my 30s were just,
say.
You know, it was crazy. It was, you know, ups and downs of many things and, you know, lots of money, no money, lots of money, no money, lots of money, no money kind right. of thing, right? Mm-hmm. Terrible husband. Yeah. And, you know, it just an interesting life. I've had a very interesting life. But my 40s have been my 40s, and my 40s is what I've controlled. So ever since I've been 40, you know, my world, I created my world. I've controlled my world. Have I controlled it right? That's a different topic. You know, could I have done better? Certainly a different topic. But it was what I created it, right? I don't have anybody else to blame for my 40s.
Right.
You know, for what happened in my 40s, which led to my 50s, obviously, which are now going to lead to my 60s. And then finally, I will go where I really want to be, which is happy, at peace with no. My dad said to me the other day, he goes, you know, he's from Brooklyn, right? And he's old. And I said, how you doing, Dad? And he said, that could be worse. I could be dead. And I said, no, Dad, that could be like the
yeah,
best thing.
Exactly. What a great solution that is.
And I'd miss you, Dad, but you wouldn't have to worry about anything. You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's
you
how
get
I feel
to rest
about it.
Finally.
It's a bad way to look at life, yeah. but hey, embrace it. Kind
yeah,
of,
I know it's yeah. hard to imagine a world without you, you know, but that's the thing, you know, the way I view this is we get a gift, we get to use it a few decades, and then we have to give it back. It's as
simple yeah, we're just
as
a
that,
vessel.
You know?
We really yeah. are, Sam. We are, everybody really is, and you know, we're here yeah. for a reason, and a lot of us search through our lifetimes looking for that reason and our purpose. And as you get older, you want to know what your purpose is even more.
Right.
You know, I wake up every morning. I told my son this the other day. I said, honey, I wake up every morning and I say to myself, okay, I am almost 60. And what am I going to do today? I have to conquer something today. Mm-hmm. And I only have so much time left in this world to to be fulfilled, really, and to know what my purpose is. And, you know, it's always changing. And is my purpose what I think it is?
Right.
You know, it could become something completely different than what I'm doing. And when I'm unhappy in what I'm doing, because I've been doing what I do for so long, it's almost boring in a way.
Right.
You know, like you want to find something else in the latter stages of your life. You really want to make a difference. If it's not for the world, it's for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's what I struggle with getting older. Besides, you know, the wrinkles around my lips and the this and that. You know, I'm grateful. I'm here.
Yeah.
But there's solutions to that stuff. But you can't stop aging.
You can't.
And I don't want to look like those women out there.
The lips.
The fake faces.
My 22-year-old niece came up to me the other day, and she said, you know, Auntie Wendy, do you think I need to, like, make my lips fuller right here?
Oh,
I said,
God.
Oh, Jesus. You know, come on, Marissa. Beautiful 22-year-old.
Wow.
And she's already worrying about her lip.
They got to stop with those lips, man. I've never seen one lip job that looks good.
Right?
You know?
That's what I say, because I've, believe it or not, people have asked me that before. Like,
really, if you had it?
Do you get the, I'm like, no, like, you'd be able to tell.
Yes.
Because they never look good.
Exactly.
I'm like, unless you're saying my lips don't look good, I'm like, last I checked, they seem pretty normal to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've actually gotten asked that
recently. And you know what? I mean, pretty girls do it, you know, that don't need it.
Yeah, well,
and
they start doing it too young, Sam.
Yeah.
And then you get, from what I understand, and then you get addicted to it.
Yeah.
You know, and then what happens is it wears off, and then you do more, and then a little more. We have some friends, and they're actresses, right? And it's incredible. Like every time, my husband knows. So my husband will go out to dinner with them, and he'll come home, and he'll go, what are they doing to themselves, right?
Like,
and then I'll see them, but I will not have seen them for like a year.
Right.
And I just sit across the table staring at them.
Staring.
Because I don't get it.
I know. It's like that's all
you
can look
at. You would look so much better normal and old than you do with what you've done to yourself. And every year it just gets worse and worse. But they, you know, they think they look good, and they're in front of a camera, and they feel as though this is what they have to look like in order to work once you get past 45.
Yeah.
And it's just really, it's sad. I think it's sad.
It's
the cheekbone thing. Everybody's shooting up
something.
They fill her in their cheekbone.
Yeah, the fillers. And it's,
don't get it, you know. Is it Beverly Hills, the show Beverly Hills Housewives, or what is up with those shows anyway?
Oh.
Number one, I want to know. Housewives of Atlanta, Orange County, Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
You know, when are they going to do Montana or, you know, Boise, Idaho?
Those are not interesting.
But they all look the same.
Yeah, you're right. They do.
You know, anyway.
That's true. So in the last few minutes, Wendy, tell us a little bit about what you do. There might be business people that want to advertise
and promote
their products. And
thank you for asking, Sam. Besides having the show at 12 o'clock, where I'm actually interviewing Elisa Coppola, and I read her book, which is amazing. So, but listen to my show at 12 o'clock today. It's called The C-Spot here on LA Talk Radio. I'm a direct response advertising and marketing expert. I've been doing that since 1993. So we bring at C-Spot Run, we conceptualize. We actually, direct response is something that most marketing didn't do for a long time, but now because of consumer engagement, where you buy things directly, like from the internet and things like this, it's very ubiquitous within the branding community and agency world. Although I've been an expert on it for the past 20 years, so I do consulting for brands and companies as far as getting into the consumer engagement and measurement of advertising.
Mm-hmm.
It's very complicated, and then we also do creative. So we'll do the creative from the commercial and the conceptual, the commercial. And then we'll also do the packaging for retail, help people get that product into retail. When I say retail, I mean mass retail. So Walmart, Walgreens, Rite Aid, that kind of thing, which is very difficult if anybody's ever tried.
I can imagine.
And just the relationships of actually bringing that product throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do. Mm-hmm. And the reason for my radio show is that I know how very difficult it is to bring products to market, no matter how much money you have. If you have nothing and if you have a lot of money, it's still very difficult.
Yeah.
And that's the core. That's my core expertise is helping people bring products to market. When I say people, I prefer to say companies.
Right.
You know, because to work with just somebody who's got $12 and an idea, it's like, I got somebody for you. I got a phone number for you.
Wow. So you're involved in the creative part of it.
I'm involved in the big picture, so I'll be very involved in the creative. And then I believe that the creative really has to be seamless with every other element, all the way down to your customer service, you know, how you fulfill, how you package the product, how it's presented once it arrives at somebody's door, to actually the name, and then, you know, the commercial and how you run the media and buy the media and plan the media, to the PPC and the banners and the Google. We do everything. We just bring together an incredibly reliable group of service providers, and we manage that, or we go in and we'll consult for a day, you know, to help people, you know, understand how to do direct response marketing and advertising the right way.
Right. So you probably had marketing background before you started
your
company.
Not. Absolutely not.
Really?
That's
so how did you get into this?
I mean, just, you know, in 1994, I was working for an investment banking firm, and my ex-husband came up with this idea that, you know, we did an infomercial, and it was called 6-Day Bio Diet. And it was lose up to 14 pounds in just 6 days. And it was juice therapy, and it came from Europe. And we didn't know what the hell we were doing. He didn't know what he was doing. It started on Howard Stern Radio.
Yeah?
It started on Howard Stern Radio.
Oh, wow.
And then it was so successful, we went from $3,000 a week in sales to $300,000 in 1 month because Howard did the live read only in LA. Only in LA. So now then we knew we had something.
Yeah.
So then they raised money to do the infomercial, and they didn't have any pitch person. So then I had to learn how to do that because I took 6 acting classes once. Right? I had to also learn how to do everything else. And so from 1994, we had $600 million later, that gross $600 million. Then I went on to make other products. And that was the genesis of my knowledge and my expertise. I've just lived it, breathed it, swept the floors, you name it. You know, I have no ego when it comes to doing that.
Right.
And now I'm one of the most well-known experts in direct response, television and advertising, because I just stayed in it.
Yeah.
I stayed in it every single little thing. I know, you know, and that's really what it takes, you know, and that's what's missing from, I think, this world now is I was just dedicated. I have a high school education. I took a few classes here and there,
right?
UCLA for this and that and the other thing. But, I just, you know, I don't think you need – I hate to say this, but I don't think you need a degree to be great at something. Steve Jobs didn't have a degree. Bill Gates doesn't have a degree. You know, when you think Barry Diller doesn't have a degree, none of them, you know, but they all come from a generation where, you know, people who are very successful, baby boomers, they're not highly educated. They're just very successful.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true because I think they're driven, you know, and you're a very driven person.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, I mean, you were just saying you want to conquer something every day. You know, that's a big deal, I think, you know. So
yeah, well, that's
why
you
got.
And I conquered this today. Look at me.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, Wendy Cooper, the show is The C-Spot. It's coming up in about an hour on Channel 2. And how can people get a hold of you other than, I guess, on the website?
They can. It's Wendy, W-A-N-D-I, at cspotrun.com. So it's the letter C, spotrun.com. I'm actually being interviewed by Antoinette and Joe on Channel 2
That's
after
true.
This.
So if you like Wendy, just switch over to Channel 2. She'll be on there. She's spending the whole day at the station today.
It's true. And
yeah,
so that's
she's popular.
Yeah. So thanks for having me, Sam.
Of course. You're always a lot of fun, Wendy. And thank you so much. All the best to you. And, Mia, that's it for today.
All righty.
Okay.
Well, see you all tomorrow.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.